I just want to affirm what Pastor Andrea said, that we know that it's wonderful to be part of a church which has such a great man of God as both the start of Kingdom Faith, but also the continuation in this generation, this time. And we are privileged to have him here in March, so we'll give you the details of that. But please do book that weekend as a very important weekend and pray into that, because there's so much that he has to impart. It's a life lived, truth that sets us free. But he's an apostle. And that is something, a God-given gift for the body of Christ. And so we're blessed to have him and Caroline come and visit us. And it's quite a big thing, you know, traveling up and down the country. And still he ministers abroad as well. And we just want to honor him with showing him our appreciation for who he is and what God gives to us through him. So, you know, it'd be part of an important weekend. I don't know when he's going to be with the Lord. I hope it's, like I said, may he live to be 100. But, you know, I just also know that I want to take whatever I can from every gift that is available so that I can run my race and be equipped. And that's part of his job, is to equip the saints to serve God. Well, we're in a kind of in a season of unpacking God's word to us for the year. And God has given us this statement to prophesy the promise and turn the tides. The negative tides, the negative forces, or situations that have never been changed, that seems to keep coming and overwhelming us. But it's also for, not only for us personally, but it's also for us as a church and for this region. I believe that we are in place for this time to see the tide turn. The tide of sin, the tide of unbelief, the tide of demonic things, sickness, all kinds of things that God is positioning us and getting us ready to see an advance of the kingdom and the tide of the work of the enemy driven back. But I do believe very much that this needs to happen personally in real ways. Before you can look out, you need to be living in victory yourself. You know what I mean? I quite like the fact that Jesus is very real. That he doesn't kind of just get us ministering to nations when we ourselves need to see victory in our personal lives. So that's really what I wanted to be speaking on this morning. God's put on my heart. And it's about speaking life over yourself, speaking God's life over you as an individual. The Bible is clear that when we surrender our lives to Jesus and we make Jesus our Lord and Savior, he gives us divine power. He comes to live in us. Christ in us is the secret of the Christian life. The secret of your life, Christ living in you. And the scripture says in 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power, Christ, through the Holy Spirit in us, has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Now, the tenses of scripture are so important because that means we already have everything we need for life. Tell somebody next to you, that's good news. I haven't seen it all yet, but it's good news. I have already got power for everything, to live a godly life, to live for Jesus, and to live in the abundant life that he has come to give us. Now, it's a bit like me having a computer, which I do. I have learned the function of certain things, and I can use my computer in certain ways. But I know that I have not yet maxed the potential of what's inherent in that computer. And it's the same with a Christian life. None of us in this room have maxed our potential. Because if Christ lives in us, our potential is the same as his. That's a big thought, isn't it? And Christ does live in us. Therefore, if we're born of God and we've received Jesus Christ personally, then our potential is the same as His in us. And like my computer, I have to learn how to release that potential. Because it's one thing to know I have it, but it's another to learn how to release that potential. How many of you say it's really good to know what I've got, like in my computer at home, but it's another thing to be able to use that potential? And that's what I believe we need to really be trained and learn and be disciplined in, about this prophesying or speaking the promises, speaking the word of God over our lives. And this is one way to release the potential of the Christ life in you, is to speak what God says about you over yourself. To speak. Now we know when God created the heavens and the earth, the Bible is really clear. He spoke and it was. That's how God works. God speaks and it happens. The same in the ministry of Jesus. He spoke what the Father gave him to say, not his own words, but from God the Father. Jesus spoke and the work was done. And so it's a kind of a different way of operation than the way we've been used to. We usually think we've got to work really hard to get a job done. Whereas God Himself does the work through just speaking faith. And that's why we have to retrain the way we live. And God's really been speaking to me for the last 3 months about changing what I say and really pulling me up on my words. Has anybody ever been pulled up lovingly by the Father because you've said something you know you should not have said? Because you're not saying something that's in agreement with Him. And I know that God wants to do an awesome work in reality in and through each one of our lives. If Christ Himself lives in us, let me tell you, you are the answer for every situation in Christ because of Jesus in you. And believers, just like God, have the power to change their lives. Now, we often think it's just God that has the power. But what I'm speaking on today is that God's power is released when we partner with Him and believe and speak what He is saying. You have the power to change your life. You've the power to change your world. Smile. That's good. You see, some people are waiting for God to do something that He's waiting for us to do. And basically, it's your move. You know, in chess, you can sit there all day long saying, I wish God would move. And He says, it's your move. And let me show you why it is your move. Let's look at Mark chapter 11, at Jesus' teaching on this amazing, powerful subject that releases His potential through our lives. Mark chapter 11. And this is at a time when Jesus had spoken to a tree, a fig tree, and said, let no one eat fruit from you again. The next day they're walking by and Peter is astonished to see that the tree had dried up from the roots. It was dead. Because Jesus always expected fully whatever He said to happen. And Jesus was using this fig tree as a shock and awe. Have you know? Shock and awe. That would be shock and awe. You walk past and you go, hang on, Jesus spoke to that tree. It was fine yesterday. Yeah. I've seen diseases healed like that. Just drop off people. Instant change. Well, it used to be there, but it's no longer there. By believing and speaking. Amen. This is how Jesus operated. And so Jesus was saying, I want you to see the physical, natural world is changed by believing and speaking. But I also believe our whole well-being, the tide of negative emotions, the tide of negative thoughts, we can turn it around and change everything about how we feel or how we think. And so Jesus is going to use this fig tree to teach all of us this morning by speaking these words, his word to us, verse 22 to 23. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Jesus says, whoever has faith, doesn't doubt in his heart. Now, we've been teaching about that since the beginning of the year. Receiving, faith comes from hearing, hearing through the word of God, the promise of God for you. You'll get faith because you're listening to God's word. Faith will come to you. God will give it to you. And through that promise, faith is created by God. It's not a thing of the mind. It's something of your heart. You believe with your heart. But Jesus doesn't stop with just having it on the inside. So many Christians trip up the whole of their life of faith and the release of the power of God because they just say, well, I've got faith in here, deep down in my heart. Down in my heart, deep down in my heart. It's not good enough just in your heart. Because Jesus says, who doesn't doubt in his heart but speaks, he will have what he says. Now, Jesus is careful not to say he will have what he prays in this context. Because he's speaking about removing negative forces, issues in our lives, immense problems that might have overshadowed our history, our present, our well-being. He said, if you have faith that comes from the word and you begin to speak, then those things that are impossible to change will change. The things you struggle with will no longer be a problem. By believing and speaking personally, something that you are going to do. Now, Paul makes it clear in 2 Corinthians that we believe and therefore we speak. And so your faith, you might have faith, but it's not going to be active until you say something. Tell somebody next to you, it's time you started speaking faith a lot more. Because speaking is releasing the Holy Spirit's power to accomplish that word. God sends forth his word through your mouth, not just puts it in your heart. It comes out of your mouth. And it accomplishes what God has sent his word to do. Now we're to line up or align with God's word. I love to think of my life like this. I'm under God. Jesus is my Lord. Therefore, his word is going to sort my head, my mouth, my eyes, my ears, my heart, my walk. You know, you make Jesus Lord means you make his word above everything in your life. Because Jesus is the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. He created all things through the power of his word. He spoke. Jesus is the word of God. It's one of his names in John chapter 1. And so, your word, Lord, I want to line up with my heart and my mouth. And that's the particular area we're looking at today. The two little lips you have called a mouth. And you know, you can say whatever you think. Nobody's going to stop you. Neither will God. You know that, don't you? We are not a cult. Because God never gives birth to cults. Because he's a loving father and he wants us to choose him. But he also says, it's only going to work this way, guys. So I'm not going to change because you like to do life different. Because I've already set it in place that this is how your life is going to work. And Jesus said, whoever says to this mountain, you identify a problem and you speak God's word. You tell your problem about God. You tell your problem about God. You don't talk about your problem as if it's your problem. You say, God says. And you say the promise to the problem. Any believers here today? Yep. Yep. Amen. So be it. I'm going to talk to my problems about God. And I'm going to say what God says. That's what confession means. And this is one of the laws of your Christian life. A spiritual law that is set up that will work every time. To believe and speak, it will always happen. Your heart and your mouth, in agreement with God, it'll always come to pass. Praise the Lord. It'll always come to pass. Providing you do it the way God teaches. And Jesus teaches here. You will have what you say. And I don't think we've really grasped this. And this is what a refreshing is coming back to us. Some of us have heard this before. Some of us have never heard it. About speaking faith. And today's your lucky day. I'm glad you came. Because speaking faith is the way God will release the promise and make it happen in your life. You speaking what God says into your situation. Now I want to make it clear that we're not doing this in some kind of brash, we're amazing way. Paul put it very clearly in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said this, I have been crucified with Christ. So Paul recognized that it took the sacrifice of Jesus for his old life to be removed. Not tweaked. To be crucified means, if you have been crucified, means you're already dead. Your old life has already gone. The old sinner, not just all your sins, the old you. You see, you were the problem, not just your sin. And so Jesus took you and your sin to the cross. That's why the victory. We're not into improvement, church. We're into new creations. Because improvement is all about what you can do. But the victory of our faith is all about what Jesus has done. And when he spoke from the cross, it is finished, he meant fixed. You're sorted. Now I realize there's a process of change going on in my experience, but it doesn't change the truth that I am already a new person. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. And Paul said, it's no longer I who's going to move mountains. Who's going to change anything? Christ lives in me. It's him. And the life I now live, I live in the body. I live by faith in the one who loved me and gave himself for me. Personal. Paul's saying this is so personal. He did this for me. I know he did it for you guys, but I'm very happy you did it for me. Because I know that I would always be a problem if it wasn't the truth that I am a new creation. And so would you. But the problem has gone, and Christ has come in. Amen. And that is the victory of saying to mountains, because it's Him moving mountains. It's His word you're speaking. It's His power in which we live. We depend on the one who lives on the inside of us. So Jesus says, I wonder if you really believe it. You will have what you say. You will have what you say about you. Whatever you say about you, you will have it. Just hang in on those words just for a second to make the words of Jesus very significant this morning. Jesus Himself, not kingdom faith or really interfaith confession. Well, we are because of Jesus, because Jesus is into it. Okay? Because this is how He says we are to move problems. He says, believe in your heart and speak to the mountain, to the problem. Don't ask God to move your mountain. Talk to the mountain. Which can feel a bit weird. Because, you know, you think about how weird it looked for Jesus talking to that tree. We know it because we've read this. But, imagine walking along the street with, you know, a few of us walking through Wellington. And, you know, we see a tree. Oh, let's go to Sheppy's, where they're making cider, praise the Lord. And they are growing apples on the trees. And we walk past one of the trees and say, let no one eat fruit from you again. And the next day, you invite me out to Sheppy's for a cup of tea. And we go through the car park. We look at the same tree that I spoke to. You would have thought I was particularly weird talking to a tree. You'd have gone, pastor's off her head. Because it does not sound good. And this is in reality what Jesus did. And you say, the tree's dead. No more apples. It's not ever going to produce. You see, we can stop things that they will never produce again. It's time we started to use what we have and stop things so they never happen again. That's called turning tides or moving mountains. And so it can feel a bit strange. But it's because of Jesus and what He says about us. And in 1 John 4:17, look, these truths are completely life-changing. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now that first part is about Jesus being love. Love personified. And when He died on the cross, it was God demonstrating His love. But He's also given us His love. And it's perfected among us. Because the Christian life isn't just about loving God. It's about having love to love His people. And the Bible's really clear. If you don't love His church, you don't love God. Not my words. You can find it in 1 John. If you don't love your brothers and sisters, you don't love God. That's really clear. It's one of the signs, not specifically tongues, although tongues is a sign of the baptism of the Spirit. But the sign that you have become a new creation, have crossed over from death to life, is that you love the brethren. And the brethren are sisterin too. Okay? Because there's neither male nor female in the Spirit. And Paul says, John says here, that we can have boldness on the day of judgment because of everything that Jesus has done. So, we're not fearing the judgment day because of what Jesus has done. So, we're not going to go groveling, we're going to go boldly. Yeah. I'm here because of Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Not I'm here because of Judith, because if I go because of Judith, I'm out. And if you go just as you are, let me tell you, you're out. It isn't just as you are, it's in Christ Jesus. You need Jesus to have boldness on the day of judgment. Because everyone will be judged. And there's only one who passes the judgment test, and that's Jesus. And so the only way you'll pass the test is if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are born of God. So we can have boldness because of Jesus. No fear. And then it talks about, that's the day of judgment in heaven, in the future. Then it talks about the world. And there is this incredible, disturbing scripture. Does this scripture disturb you? I'm talking to you like you're my friends this morning. Can we see this? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Is that a little disturbing? A little ruffling the religious feathers? A little bit more upsetting than I go to church? It's a bit more than that. Jesus is saying, because as he is, so are we. Basically, he's saying, you're the same as Jesus. Does that not blow your mind? But of course we are if Christ lives in us. Because he's not looking at the old me. He's looking at the new me in him. As he is, holy, righteous. Say, as he is, so am I. Blameless, without fault. Well, even people who love me wouldn't say that I live with. Has anybody ever thought, I can find fault with me, and they can find fault with me? And this word blameless doesn't really describe me, but that's the problem, you see. Because first of all comes faith. The first thing is to believe what he says about you. And what will follow is a different walk. This is where we need to make sure things are the right way around. We believe and speak before we feel or see that kind of life yet. Because God already believes it about you. Did you know God believes you're holy? He looks at you and says, well, I believe they're holy. They're blameless. They're righteous. Not in my experience, but in Christ Jesus. But the more I believe I'm not these things, the more I'll walk out a sinful life. Because whatever I believe, I will live. And so we got to get the believing and speaking right before we will live in the power of holiness, righteousness, and everything that Jesus is. Can you see? There's a link here. Because as he is, so are you in this world, in the here and now. Everything he is describes me. Just say that over you. Isn't it a bit of a mind bender, isn't it? Because actually, if I was honest, I'd be able to come up with loads of ways that it wouldn't describe me. But you see, I think we've got to start doing life the way that Jesus teaches us to do it. To first believe and speak what hasn't been our experience yet. What hasn't been the performance goal. Because we're believing and speaking about him really in us. not about our performance, but His. Not about our holiness, but His. Not about our own righteousness, but His, which was a gift. Do you know, a righteousness is a gift, not something you could ever earn. And when you receive Jesus, you have a gift called being right with God by faith. By faith. So when you confess Jesus, Lord, speak, you are saved. And everything, the biggest miracle of your life, is as He is from that stage on, you are like Him in this world. The thing is, in this teaching, Jesus is saying that we will have what we say. Isn't He? And He's actually putting it into your hands to actually change your own life. He's already changed you in Christ, but to see a manifestation of that change will come through your mouth. Now, if you think about your mouth, think of it like a door. Okay? Think of your mouth like a door. So things can come through that door. Say, coming into your front door, into your home. Let's say, put it like that. So through your mouth could come, through the door of your mouth, you can speak good things, God's things, God's promises, and good things will come into that house. Or your mouth can be a door of bad things, because it works both ways. You can speak and bad things will come. I always think how theology is so screwed up in some Christians' minds. They don't get it. They always quote Job. Ah, but what he feared came upon him. And I said, that's the problem. He feared it. He didn't have faith. What he feared came upon him. Now, Psalm 39 says, I won't sin with my mouth. I'll put a gag on my mouth, my tongue. Basically, he's saying, waiting at the door is Satan. The wicked are right before there, the door of my mouth. So you just imagine the enemy's there, but the Holy Spirit's obviously present. And the enemy's just waiting for us to say something bad. Because he can get on it. Because you can give him permission through speaking something negative. Yeah. I'll never be good enough. You'll never be good enough. I'll never see what other people see happen. Well, you'll never see it happen. I'll never heal the sick. Well, then you won't. Because you will have what you say. I'll never have a fulfilled life. You will eat the fruit of your words. Now, Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, death and life, two things, are in the power of your little tongue. That thing. Through which comes either the life of God or some really bad stuff. I've heard people say, well, me and my wife, we're just existing. We're not compatible. We don't get on. It's just, you know, we just go through life. They will never come out of that sticky, nasty mess unless they start speaking well of their own marriage. Well, you could say, well, I shouldn't lie. I'm not talking about lying. I'm saying talk truth, because God never lies, to the problem. And tell your problem about God. Don't talk about the problem. So start speaking life words over your relationships, not death words. Start speaking life words over you as an individual. Well, I'll never get over this. I hear people say it. And I go, no, 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 no. Button it. Glue. Put something on that trap. Zip it. Because you're releasing demonic forces to go to work. Do we believe the word? Are we believers in this room? Death and life are in the power of not just God's mouth, yours. And you will live in the fruit, or you will have the life that you say. Well, I'm always alone. I'm always lonely. I'm always feeling alone. I feel isolated. People don't like me. Oh. Stop defeating yourself. Don't defeat yourself. Because then, you know what people do then is they blame God. And Jesus says, but I've taught you that you'll have what you say. And I meant it. God means it. It's not a pretend unreal life. It's a real life. Look, there are some things that are so tough that happen to us. But we can speak our way out of a desert. We can speak our way out of pain. We can speak our way out of life-altering situations. I am not diminishing what happens to us. But they're the facts. But, as Pastor Colin always said, truth changes facts. You keep talking the facts will never change and might even get worse. I mean, I know Christians who Google every symptom. Try Bible symptoms, which is healed. Don't Google it. Word it. Get a promise. Stop the Google analytical problem-seeking life. And the devil wants me to focus on everything that's wrong with me. Hello? And, you know, I say to God, well, I can see this perfect on the inside, but could do with a lot more perfect on the outside. And the devil would love me to focus my entire life on what's wrong rather than on God and what's right. And if Christ lives in me, everything can change. I've known people who spoke about, oh, I'm an anxious person. It's just who I am. Well, it's who you, there you go. You keep saying it. It might even increase. An anxiety that kind of changes from just a normal level of anxiety can change to depression very quickly by you just talking yourself into it. I want to talk myself out of every problem. I don't want to talk myself into trouble. Oh, well, the clouds are dark. The nation's going under. We've left Europe. What will we do? Jesus hasn't left us. And he ain't never leaving us or forsaking us. Who's going to provide? The one who's always provided. Certainly not the EU. Nor is Britain. Praise the Lord. We have somebody far more trustworthy. And his name is God, our Father. So we're not speaking gloom, doom, fear, all kinds of problems in our future. We're telling everything that needs changing. Let me just talk to you about God. God is faithful. God is almighty. God is with me. In fact, he lives in me. And if God be for me, Who can stand against me? You're not going to stand, because God, through me, is going to drive you out, and you are going to flee. Praise the Lord. As he is, remarkably, so are we. The youngest Christian and the most mature Christian in this room, as he is, so are we in this world. Righteous. Well, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am loved perfectly as the Father has loved Jesus. So he loves me. As the Father, I'm sorry, I just think that's remarkable. In the same love which the Father had for Jesus, he has the same love for you and for me. I'm not a sinner. And I'm never going to sing it or say it. I'm a saint, a holy one, made right in God's eyes. I am not under Satan's power. I am over, raised, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And if I am far above every principality and power, that puts the devil right where he should be, and that's under my feet. Oh, the devil's causing havoc. Oh, just giving him permission to carry on with a bit more. Carry on causing havoc. Or, the Lord's doing so much good. It's incredible what Jesus has done. And I'm going to speak a promise over this situation. It's going to change. Havoc, leave. Peace, come. Amen. I speak peace to every storm. I speak love over my family. I am loved, and I have love to love everyone. Do you know, because of Jesus, I am a blessing to everyone? Whoop-de-doo. There we go. People might not think it, but I believe it. Because Jesus lives in me, I am a blessing to everyone. And so are you, my darling. That's you in Christ Jesus. As he is. So it's not pride, it's Christ. You understand, it's not arrogance, it's faith. There's huge world of difference between the two. Speak life, unseen, unfelt, unexperienced faith. You haven't yet seen a perfect marriage, but you speak it. You haven't yet seen what God has promised, but you're speaking it. You haven't yet felt joy or peace, but you're saying it anyway. I've got joy. Holy Spirit joy. I've got a river of life that's flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors. Sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. What a declaration. Not, oh, I'm all shut up. I've got nothing flowing. It's all misery. It's all down. I've got a river of life flowing out. Don't feel it. Don't see it. Me makes the lame. I haven't seen that yet, but I will. Lame to walk and the blind to see. Oh, that's a new one. We'll see that too. Opens prison. Come on. You will have what you say. You'll turn things around with your tongue. Isn't it interesting how much we can do with this little thing? Yes. Not just believing, releasing faith. It's how you get your faith to work, is to believe and therefore speak. Doing life Jesus' way. You know, so many people are so negative focused. We have to retrain ourselves to be focused on Christ and what he has made us. And you know, it's a bit like, imagine England are in the World Cup, footy, or even rugby. But footy, let's go footy, football. And you're the one taking the last penalty in the penalty shootout. And it's either winning or losing through your shot. Can think of the pressure. Okay, so you're coming up to take, you place the ball, and you're coming up to take the shot. Now, let me tell you, if you think you're going to miss it, you will. So they say if you start to focus on missing it, oh, I could hit it in that corner, but I don't want to go too far, and the nation's behind me watching. Right, okay, just don't feel it. Please don't miss it. Please don't miss it. And the lack of kind of focus, the focus is on missing it. You will miss it. But they say take the perfect shot in your head and your heart and line up with God in the perfect shot. Take the perfect shot, which is the word of God, the promise. Take the perfect shot. Line everything up to God's word. You go and belt that ball because you know exactly where it's going and you know you're going to get a goal. Amen. And we've got to stop thinking I'm going to miss it to I'm going to hit it. I'm going to win this. Tell yourself, I'm going to win this. God's going to give me a word which will give me the perfect shot. And when I believe it and I speak it, it's going to come to pass. Whoa. Loving the word this morning. I hope you are. You will have what you say. Now it takes a shift of your emotions, your stubbornness actually, to say, to not say. You see, we've been trained the wrong way. We always like to say what we think and feel. So opinionated. Quite honestly, get rid of your opinions if they're nothing to do with God's word. I love you enough to tell you. Because your opinions won't change anything, but the word of God will. And we're so used to being silent, internalizing, so that we kind of meditate on what's wrong. And honestly, if you just keep it all shut up, your life will go down. And it doesn't feel very comfortable speaking the opposite to what you're seeing and feeling. Right. It's not comfortable to say, I'm healed when I'm in pain. Because the truth is, I was healed 2,000 years ago. The truth is, I was healed 2,000 years ago. Jesus has already finished everything for my healing. He doesn't have to do another thing. It's done. And so we've got to retrain ourselves off talking about the pain or the feelings or, I just don't think I can cope. It just goes from bad to worse. Retrain, and it's hard. I think it's a bit like Mowgli in the Jungle Book. Has everybody watched or know about the Jungle Book story? How Mowgli was abandoned as a baby in the jungle and he was befriended in some weird way by wolves. And he grew up thinking he was a wolf, although he kind of knew he looked a bit different, but he was relating. His whole relationship base was as a wolf. He spoke like a wolf. He ate like a wolf. He fought like a wolf. Everything about him was like, this is how I behave. And when a person, a human, came into the jungle and realized that there was this boy living like a wolf, they were like, well, you're not a wolf. And Mowgli, his whole psyche and experience had been, I live like a wolf. And it's a bit like when you become a new creation, how you kind of grew up with wolves. But as a new creation, you're made in the image of God. Recreated in the image of God. We need to put on Christ. Now, Mowgli would have found it really difficult to start to behave, think, and speak differently. He'd have been... That's not your new nature, by the way, to growl. Don't know if you know, it's love. Okay, just a... And everything threatened by everything and everyone. And I'm here to fight for everything I get. That was his old nature. To succeed, you had to fight for everything. Now God is for you. You're a new person and you're under the favor of God. And Mowgli would have had to retrain himself. Oh, that's how you eat. Oh, that's how you talk. And as a new creation, we have to retrain ourselves to believe and speak differently. Stop talking yourself down. For Christ's sake. So that everything that he put in you can become manifest. I'm loving. Go on, let's say it. I'm loving. I'm kind. I'm gracious. I'm not harsh with others. I easily forgive because Christ lives in me. Everywhere I go, I'm a blessing. Brilliant. One last story, and we're going to have ministry through a song this morning. There was a time in my life where I was living in another nation and I literally thought I was there for 10 years. And to be honest, it took my emotions down thinking I'd be there for 10 years. I was working in a church in a Bible college and they were supposed to be looking after me, but they didn't pay me. Foreign country, unpaid. Think. I had no money, by the way. I had no little bank account back home that I could access. And I was living in a house where the person who said I could have a room in her house literally hated me. Right? Literally. Would snarl at me in the morning. So no food, no money, wasn't liked. I actually thought I was rubbish at what I did because I was just starting out in ministry and I thought, I don't know why they've asked me to come here. And everybody else thought I was rubbish too. It was a great combo. And I'm stuck in this foreign country alone. And I was like getting a bit down with it, you know? A few tears. And you know when you feel sorry for yourself, you can really have a meal. You can do it for hours if you want. And I have been trained to tell myself to stop. I'm really good at telling myself to stop because I trained myself in the things of God. Yeah. Well, stop it. Yeah. Stop crying. Right. And I thought, well, I'm going to start speaking about every good thing I have. And you could look around me and it didn't look that good. So, Lord, I thank you that I've got peace with you. Actually, I'm in favor with you. I thank you that you haven't brought me here for no reason. That you've got a plan for me here. You've predestined good works for me to walk in. I thank you, Lord, that I'm blessed. And then I began to go, yeah, I really am blessed. I'm so blessed. And, you know, literally speaking, my mouth, door, blessing over my life changed me. I started to get happy for no reason other than speaking faith. Nothing changed, but I changed. Do you know things might not change until you change? That's it. Did you know that? You start to become more positive in your speaking. And I literally started to bounce around a bit like Tigger. And I do love the joy of the Lord because actually his joy is my strength. And I said to the Lord, when I got saved, I'm never going to lose this joy. And I won't, because it remains, it's his joy, not mine. And I've determined to stay full of joy. I think we should all do that. Why don't you say, I'm going to be so full of joy, they won't believe me when I go to work tomorrow. And even when I come in on a Sunday, they will be remarking. Even the pastor will say, how on earth did this lot happen? Jesus, there must be a revival going on. They're all smiling this morning. Okay, no comment. But I changed. And then after a while, you know, I was declaring my God will supply all my needs. No money, no food. I was getting thin. A forced fast. Gifts started to come in. People started to like me. Oh, yes. I told them they would in the spirit. You're going to like me. I'm here for a reason. And everything changed. And then by the time I left, everybody was happy with me and I was happy with everybody else. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Change your workplace. Stop telling me I wish I had a different job. If everything's wrong coming out of your mouth, more wrong will come. I wish I had a different... It could be friends, it could be partner, it could be anything. Start speaking blessing. And let the Holy Spirit go to work to bring about the fulfillment of His promise over you. We're going to listen to a song now. Some of you may have heard it. It's called You Say. And I'd like you to read the words. There's a video that goes with it, but I didn't want her to be a distraction. Because I want you to receive personally from listening to this song. And then we're going to take communion together. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you that the things you say about us are for us not just to hold in our hearts, but to declare what we believe that you say we are. And Lord, this morning it is an absolute wonder that you should say, as he is, so are we in this world. And as we celebrate communion together and we kind of finish this time of hearing your word and worshiping you, we celebrate the greatest act ever in all human history. That God himself would become man and suffer punishment for our peace. Take the stripes for our healing. Take the curse for our blessing. And take the sin so that we could become righteous. Lord, it is a wonder, but it's a wonder that we love you for. And may our hearts truly love you with all that we are because of everything you've done and said about us.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.